Now, more of Bradfo and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
All right, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring show live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, leading up to the Travis Thomas Experience, which leads up to First Pitch, or the pregame show, and then First Pitch, Red Sox-Yankees. Very spicy after the Alex Verdugo home run and reaction last night. Got everyone riled up, which is good. As the caller said, he's pissed. Let's go. I mean, let's go.
This good is callers an, today.
Great callers starting, and I got to give credit, man. I have to give credit to Christian Fourier.
Yeah, you got it going.
He did get it going. He was the party starter. I think I was leading too much in the Red Sox Yankees thing out of the gate instead of leading into the Verdugo thing, and Christian helped us lean into the Verdugo thing. And you know, he had a lot of good points. The callers have had a lot of good points. And I do think that it raises a lot of questions about Red Sox lot in life, not only on the field in the standings compared to the Yankees, but also in that dynamic with the clubhouse. We forget how young this team is. We forget, well, if you're put in this position, like, what is this going to look like? Because as we said, you know, the Philadelphia Phillies or the 2018, you know, there was a reason why Joe Kelly was the right guy at the right time. So there you go.
Yeah, that discussion that we had where it's like, who's going to be the guy to step up in the clubhouse and say this needs to be done? And we just kind of like slowly go through guys. And it's just there isn't a guy to
well,
have
there, there are some guys potentially. I mean, there are. I mean, but there are more.
But they're not in that role. Like, Devers isn't going to do it.
Well, this was a thing that we kept saying like all along. But it sort of hadn't really come up because they'd won enough. The young players were progressing, all of that. But we had Justin Turner. We knew. Like, you lose Justin Turner, that was the leader.
We talked about this in the offseason.
Yeah, lose Trevor Story, that was a leader. I'll give you another one. You lose Chris Sale. I'll be Chris Sale. I would love to know what would happen if Chris Sale was pitching today for the Boston Red Sox. That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
All right. You can join that conversation if you want. 617-779-7937. All right. It is time for the Wasabi Challenge. How we do this is I am out to make the world a more educated place when it comes to the great game of baseball. We have been doing it with Playtesi guys, Gordo and Sammy. We have one coming up with Tristan Casas as well. But today, Gordo is back for his third go-round. He is 0 for 2. He had to eat wasabi both times. Different reactions. It seemed like the first time you did it was a little more potent.
Yeah, well, the second time you at least know what to expect. Like, what are you even going to expect the first time? You know it's spicy, I guess. That's kind of the only thing that you have to go off of. And so it just kind of shocks your brain, goes right up to your nose. Second time around, it's like you can brace your nose. That might be the keys. Brace the nose.
No, you can't. You cannot close your nose.
No, not close it. Like, just brace for the impact, because you know it's going to send, like, tingles and shocks.
Right. So, but again, this is the whole thing. We have to understand what the great part about being walking side by side with Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies, is that they have offered us a path, along with our good friends at McFarland, a path to make even astute baseball observers like yourself more educated in the baseball world. Correct?
Yeah. It's why we love
you. You know what Garrett Whitlock's middle name is now?
Oh my God! Wait, have I forgotten? It was something. Something I would have never gotten.
You knew it for a little bit.
I did.
It's Getz.
Getz, yes.
You know what was the question last week or last time we did it?
It was on Duran. Oh, it was Duran's amount of at bats in the World Baseball Classic, which I believe was four, right?
I think it was five or four. I don't know. Anyway,
I guessed one. It was the other.
Right, today you have picked
0 for 2.
You have picked Tristan Casas. I feel like. So I also have a T-shirt ready to give you in this bag. We will either be giving you a T-shirt or you will be taking a very, very painful spoonful of next level wasabi.
And this wasabi appears to be thicker than the last two wasabis that we've taken. He's already got the phone out. He knows I'm going to get it wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, you could get this one right.
You know what? It'll be good. You can film me getting it right.
Yeah, okay. All right, here it is.
Let's get it.
The Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage Wasabi Challenge, where Gordo answers the question and yells McFarland. What pick was Tristan Casas taken in the 2018 draft?
26th overall.
That is correct.
Oh, my God.
All right. Now, here's the thing. The first time, that was an easy one. I gave you an easy one. Okay? So, with that said, you might get this one right, too. All right. Now, I'm going to give you, you want to you try for two t-shirts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What is Tristan Casas' brother's name and the two colleges he's played at?
No. Oh, my God. I know. Is it? It's Gavin. Right?
That is correct.
I can't get the colleges, though.
You can't?
I can't get either of them.
All right.
What are they? Tell me.
They are University of South Carolina.
TCU.
Nope, and Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
Okay. You get one t-shirt, but you also have to take the spoonful of wasabi.
T-shirt and a spoonful.
Here we go.
Honestly, this might be the best outcome. I get the wasabi, which it's a great thing. It's good for the world.
Don't forget, after you take the spoonful of wasabi, you have to yell McFarland. Go ahead. Oh, it's hitting a little different. No, don't you dare drink that water. Don't you dare drink that water.
McFarland.
No, don't drink that water.
It's been 4 seconds.
No.
It's gone.
You can't drink the water.
McFarland. Wasabi. Bring it home. Look at this. I'm still alive.
How did it hit? You all right? Are you okay? Because that was an ample spoonful of wasabi.
It was. I mentioned that it's thicker. Way thicker. That thing could not go straight down. I had to sit there chewing it. And you're chewing it, and the tingles are going through the nose. But when it's still in your mouth, they go into your cheeks, too.
Yeah.
Woo.
You paid the price for being educated in the world of baseball.
I'm, like, tearing up a little bit.
All right.
Oh.
You all right?
I'm all the way back now.
Oh, you are?
I'm all the way
back. Your eyes are, like,
are they red?
Crazy red.
Yeah. This is good, though. That's what it's for. It sends the tingles to your nose, to your cheeks, and to your eyes.
How spicy it could be, because I may or may not be executing this in within another hour on the baseball, on the Red Fenway field. How spicy is it?
It's less about the spice itself and more about the combination of the spice with the taste.
Okay.
Like, I eat chicken that's spicier than that, but I'm eating chicken.
Okay.
But this is wasabi.
Okay.
So wait, this is happening today?
It may be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is exciting.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Well, good job. You get a t-shirt and you get the thrill of eating wasabi and having your brain cells blown out by a spicy.
Rob, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
When you said Tristan Cott, you said the name of or something like that. And it felt like you were about to ask me what his middle name was. When I said Casas, I quickly scrolled through his base. I had that ready. If you'd said his middle name, I was not getting it.
That's a layup. I gave you an easy one.
26 overall. I think I may have been able to get that even if I hadn't checked the reference page.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I always do a quick glance.
All right. Well, there you go. Another successful wasabi challenge.
Let's go.
Excellent job.
3 wasabi challenges deep. I think I'm the record holder for most wasabi
excellent
challenges.
Excellent job. I mean, you who knows? It may have healing powers or it may be taking years off your life.
I feel myself getting stronger now. I'm tougher now than I was.
You're tougher and you're more educated in the world of baseball.
It's true.
All right. That's what we're here to do. We're here to educate, entertain, inform. The great game of baseball. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show at BB Isn't Boring. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Gordo, but we're going to trend right now. Here you go.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics are still one game away from lifting the Larry O'Brien Trophy and claiming Banner 18. They lost last night by a final score of 122-84. Luka Doncic had 29 points in just 3 quarters. They'll look to close out the series back at the TD Garden in Game 5 on Monday night. And Jason Tatum's expectations for the crowd in that game are very high.
I think it's going to be as loud as it's ever been in my 7 years of being a Celtic.
Tip-off for Game 5 is set for 8:30 at TD Garden. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight, and the Cup will be in the building as the Panthers look to complete the sweep of the Oilers and claim Their first Stanley Cup in franchise history puck drop is set for 8 p.m. The Revs are in action tonight looking for their third straight win. They'll be down at Gillette to take on the Vancouver Whitecaps with kickoff set for 7:30. Last night, the Red Sox fell to the Yankees by a final score of 8-1. Brian Bayo's struggles continue, going just 4 2/3, giving up 4 earned. The Sox and Yankees will be back in action later tonight, first pitch set for 7:15. You can hear coverage of that game right here on WEEI, starting at 6:15 with the Mass Mutual pregame show. And then Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming will have all the play-by-play action again. First pitch is set for 7:15. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More baseball isn't boring coming up after this from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. That's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Celebrate the great American sales event and join the Bronco family, or get a great offer on America's best-selling trucks. F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox.
Make a habit of it.
Bradfo, and baseball isn't boring. WEEI.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Isn't Boring Live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. We talk about the great game of baseball, talking about Alex Verdugo, spicing things up here at Fenway Park. I'm Rob Bradford along with Gordo of the Play Testy podcast. Play Testy, the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. What do you got going on? Are you going to go down the field after this?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'll go take the dog for a walk, come back, go on the field. Talk to some players.
Look at you.
Samuel will be here too.
A little Bed Bath & Beyond. Nice little day for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Be a good game tonight. Some Carlos Rodon action tonight.
Like Carlos Rodon. Well. Oh, man.
Yeah,
the one that got away. Remember how it freaked out about Carlos Rodon? It was actually the Yoshida press conference where Scott Boras was sealing the Carlos Rodon deal at the Yoshida press conference.
In Fenway Park.
And everyone got all riled up. Speaking of which, you go back to that last offseason. We were just talking about this. Jose Abreu. Like, Jose Abreu, who just got released by the Astros, was a guy that the Red Sox really took a run at last year.
Yeah, he was like their number one priority.
He was basically, if they sign him, they don't sign Justin Turner.
Right.
And you don't have all those good Justin Turner memories.
I was actually texting with one of my friends about this because initially we're like, if they sign Jose Abreu, do they not sign Yoshida? And then we get to the point of actually, they thought Yoshida could play some defense. The guy they wouldn't have signed was Turner.
Turner. And so they miss out on him, and obviously he's released. Now, talking to some people in the organization, they're like, well, we'll take a look, you know, like under the hood, like what happened. But it's just like when you have something like him falling off a cliff this year, Abreu, just they sent him down, they brought him up, nothing worked. So, but he's a great guy to have around, and that's one of the reasons why they want to have him around. I mean, we've been talking about this dynamic of this team of having the clubhouse guy. Turner was that guy, and Abreu was going to be that guy.
Yeah,
he was absolutely going to be that guy. It'll be interesting to see how the team is built going forward in that respect. So,
in respect of
We talk about the Phillies. Well, they were just in, and they're really good. Or you know, the Yankees, if you want. But they have these built-in guys who are leaders, who's going to tell you this is how we're doing things. Even with the Yankees, Rizzo, you know, Judge is at the point finally in his career. You know, LeMahieu's there. You know, they have these 30-somethings, and the Red Sox. We've talked about it. That's not really how their position player group is built right now. Rhett Snyder is a great guy to have, but not an everyday player. Who am I? Oh, I was going to say Dom Smith, but Dom Smith's a 28. You don't have these. The pitchers are, you know, they're pitchers. Chris Martin,
Nick Pavetta,
Chase. I mean, Pavetta's barely 30. Chase Anderson. Kenley Jansen. But you're talking about we're position players, and that's how this whole how do you react to the Verdugo thing came up, or what is even if there is no overt action taking, what is the message in there? Are we pissed that he did this? Are we pissed that this happened in front of our crowd? How are you reacting to that? That's what I want to know.
I would love to know if they're reacting. And like, is it something that they talked about?
And it's a tough one because, you know, I think that if you had – here's my guess. If you had Tyler O'Neill, who was sitting in a three-year contract, you know, playing all the time, he would be, yeah, you know, hey, boys. Like,
yeah, let's go. The boys.
Like, the boys. Like, let's go. But
kind of rile the boys up.
He's, you know, one-year contract, hurt, just trying to find his way. I always remember Napoli saying that to me. He's like, how am I supposed to be a leader when I'm hitting 200 and I'm expected to do more? You know, right. It's one thing if you're expected to hit 200, like Cora or even Gomes back in the day. You know, but, you know, when you're – leadership in a baseball clubhouse is such a unique thing. It really is, Gordo.
No, it is.
It's you have – there's very few times where you can say, here is the undisputed guy who is going to send the message across everybody. And usually when you think it's that guy can't get on the stool. That guy – that's why Turner was so good. Because Turner never came in here and said, all right, guys – I know I'm only in here for a year, but everyone gather around. I'm 38 years old, and I'm going to lead you.
That's what made it so impressive was a guy who signs a one-year deal comes in and doesn't – it's not like he came in and just said, this clubhouse is mine, right?
But a couple things.
He got to that point.
A couple things.
But it's not because he just declared it.
He's good. Like, he was good. That has to be sort of a prerequisite.
Yeah.
And also that he just did things the right way. That's how it was. That's it.
You got to be good. You got to be playing. You got to lead by example.
So again, it comes back to they got Turner to do that, to be that guy. They ultimately, in 2013, they got a wave of these guys to be that guy. Going forward, what is that going to look like? Because why we keep defaulting to Meyer and Teal and Anthony, you said it, I said it. You got to have the other guys.
And not for nothing, you got to have guys that those guys can look to.
Absolutely.
And that's why it was so frustrating to not see them go out and do more this offseason. It'll be the same thing next offseason because now, next offseason, we'll be talking about those guys potentially either being on the opening day roster or coming up midseason. It's like, who are they going to look to show me, to show them how it's done?
Well, the guys just flash forward to next year of who the guys you're pretty sure are going to be here, right?
Yeah.
Casas, all right, still very young. Vaughn Grissom, very young. Trevor Story, maybe back.
Hopefully healthy.
We'll see. Health. Devers, you know, he's got his own personality. There's signs that he leads in some ways. You know, Cora keeps saying that he is like showing leading by example in a lot of ways. Fine. But still, I don't think he's at that point where, like, hey, everyone looked to Rafael Devers. Maybe right. In a couple of years. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Duran, still pretty young. Abreu, a young. Rafaela, young. And, you know.
Yoshida.
You know, it's just.
Language barriers.
Yeah, language tough. Barrier. So this is going to be the interesting dynamic. But as we sit here right now, this is what we're talking about with these Boston Red Sox. And it stems off Verdugo's reaction, how you respond to it, how, you know, how the Boston fans want you to respond to it. When we started talking about that, when Christian Fourier called at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, he just texted me. He's like, I'm still fired up about it. And we see everybody's fired up about it. So you can't just be like, you know what? That was just Alex Verdugo. What I would love Alex Cora to say, really, at the press conference today is, hey, listen, I respect everything Alex Verdugo had here, but, you know, we have to, and he's obviously not going to come out and say we're going to plunk Alex Verdugo, but we have to define ourselves. This is our moment, whether it's because of Verdugo or just because you can take 2 of 3 against the New York Yankees. This is a very signature moment this weekend that we can have. And these guys have to understand.
It's on the table.
It's on the table.
For the taking.
For the
like take. A spoonful of wasabi is on the table
and
for the take.
And you know what it leads to? A lot of spice.
Yep. And there you go. Full circle. Fenway Park, spicy on this beautiful June.
I'm going to give every member of the Red Sox a spoonful of wasabi.
And they'll be better for it.
They'll be better. It's magical healing properties and also make you a better baseball team. All right, Wally in Fall River. Hey, Wally, what's going on, my friend?
Yeah, what's up, Bradford? I'm not going to go jump off the bridge because Verdugo had a good night last night. He's not Bryce Harper. He's just, you know, he's a decent ball player, but it's too much being placed on that. I mean, he wasn't happy here. We know he was going to go. They got what they could for him. But you look at the Yankees compared to the Red Sox, it's a perfect, a lot of these teams, the Dodgers, even the Mets, even though they're falling apart, you get a blend of veterans and rookies, and the GM makes the right moves. Henry don't want to spend anymore. I mean, as far as the Yankees, if they want to keep Juan Soto, they're going to have to give him $550 million. I don't see the Red Sox going near there. Oh. But, you know, it's a funny situation because we've traded away good players before and got crap for them. Look at Bronson Arroyo for Peña. We tried Pablo, Hanley Ramirez, Crawford, Renteria. So we've been burnt on a lot of things. But they're going to have to spend money now if they want to get better. Everybody's calling, well, what about next year? All these guys, they're not going to be Pedroia or Ellsbury when they come out. They're not going to set the world on fire. You're going to need a lot of patience. But one other thing, Brad, as far as Jose Abreu, has anybody picked him up yet?
And no, you think nobody, the stock should go? Go ahead.
So you're not keen on picking up Jose Abreu, who was released by Houston?
You know, I'm not. I got to be honest. Thanks for the call, Wally. You know, I think that, as we said, you know, talking to people in the Red Sox organization, they said, you know, we'll take a look at him. And obviously, you know, you have Casas sitting there. But you have to ask yourself, is Jose Abreu better than Dom Smith?
Or is he better than Bobby Dalbec? Because he's a right-handed bat. I assume if they brought in a Jose Abreu, he'd be platooning with Dom for what? However many weeks it takes for Casas to get back. And then at that point, it'd be like a we'll see. Because even when Casas comes back, it's left-handed heavy.
Yeah, and I think that it's an interesting one because, as you said, if you do bring him in, how far away is Casas? If Casas is around the corner, Casas playing every day. I mean, even you know with Dalbec and Dom Smith, when Casas comes back, they're lots in life. Actually, Dom Smith's lot in life really changes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
How is he going to get into the lineup?
Well, I don't. I think you just beg him to accept an assignment to Worcester.
Yeah.
But he's progressively gotten better. He's a good guy to have around, I think. But if you brought in Jose Abreu, all right, well, what's that look like? What's the purpose? There's no position. There's no versatility. You're hoping that he bounces back. I like the idea of him. I like the idea of that presence. But all of this, I think that when you get to after the All-Star break, Gordo, after the All-Star break, this is where you really say, this is how you want to construct this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would expect Casas to be, if not back, close to being back. This is how you want to construct your roster, not only on the field, off the field, all of it. And do you want to go for it? And I'll come back to this series, these games, today's game, all of this. It just feels like if you are able somehow, some way to take two games against the best, we can agree that they're the best team in baseball.
I don't
say it.
No, I won't. I will never
say it.
I never will. They could win the World Series. I won't say it.
Anyway,
they might be the best team.
They're the best team in baseball.
The Orioles are still better.
So no, they're not. So they're the best team in baseball. So you take two or three. You took two or three against one of the best teams, the other team's best teams in baseball, in the Philadelphia Phillies. If nothing else, you can feel. And this is, and I know that people say that's eyewash, that's hyperbole. But when you have a young team and they're trying to figure it out and they're trying to feel like they belong and they're sitting there at 500, sometimes there's moments like this where you just feel – I mentioned the James Shields thing. There, 2013, there was that feeling. There was that sort of like all of a sudden, boom, here we go. We actually belong. There's just – sometimes there's that feeling. There's that moment.
And people might watch this team and say this is a perennially 500 team. That moment isn't coming. But there are teams – that have been in this spot that have had moments like the Braves of 2021, Nationals of 2019. Like, we could talk about those teams. They sat in very similar spots to this.
And I'm going to tell you what. And I'm going to tell you what. 2021, you know, Chaim Bloom, the Kyle Schwarber trade was obviously that's what we're talking about. And now they were in it. Everybody knew they were in it. So there wasn't going to be any idea of selling. But they did that trade early. They took advantage of a play. They took advantage of the market, really, where Schwarber had a bad hamstring and people didn't know knew he wasn't going to play for weeks. And he didn't play for weeks. And then they gave up a guy who was a minor leaguer, certainly wasn't going to put a dent in your future. But that's the type of thing, not only because of what he brought on the field, what he brought in the clubhouse, that was the thing that once he started playing, because remember, they slumped after the deadline. Everyone was like, he didn't do this. You got a guy with a bad hamstring. But that was the right move to at the perfect complement to that team. That's what they have to find with this team.
Are you talking about they need a moment or they need a move?
No. The moment leads to the move. The moment,
okay.
In this, no, there's no moves that's going to happen right now, right? Because they're still, as Craig Breslow said the other day on the Greg Hill Show, I mean, there's still too much time. They can't define their lot in life. They can't define who they are. But all I'm saying is that in order to help define them who they are or who they might be, this might be that moment. And maybe it goes the other way, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, they could get swept.
They get swept. And then, I mean, they're three.
Roll over and die.
They're three back in the wild card. They could come out. You could go to Toronto five back in the wild card. That could happen. And if that happens, all of a sudden, all the stuff that we're talking about, we look stupid. Anyway.
Yeah, then the conversation turns to sell at that point.
But I'm just saying that we should not devalue what's going on. And it's the whole thing is wrapped up in a nice package where you have the Verdugo animosity, the Verdugo spiciness, the Yankees being here, the Yankees being so good, the Red Sox trying to find their way, the Red Sox coming 2 out of 3 against the Phillies.
Situation is begging for it.
And there's nobody you'd rather have on the mound than Cooper Criswell. Let's go. Let's go.
Cooper Criswell.
Yeah, Cooper Criswell. Who do they get tomorrow? Who's this rolling out tomorrow?
Is it Cutter? I think it is Cutter.
Okay. So all I'm saying is that strike while the iron's hot. And you mentioned Juan Soto. Here's a question I have for you. You're the Yankees. Red Sox are going to sign you Juan Soto.
No.
Sorry to do that to you.
That was my white whale for years. I hate that I have to give up on that dream, and it's June of the year before his free agency. Okay. This is when I should be stepping up the campaign.
I know.
It's just not a campaign.
We haven't even talked about All-Star, your campaign for All-Stars, which you're notorious for.
Yes, and
All right, we'll get to that in a second. Yankees, should the Yankees sign Juan Soto for $500, $600 million?
Blank check. $760 million.
Blank check, Gordo. All right, let's go to Anthony in Chicopee. Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Good.
Just want to make a couple quick comments and get your opinion. Brian Bello's in his third season. I've been hearing for 2 years. He's the next Pedro. I don't think he's ever going to be anything more than a mediocre third starter. And Rafael Devers, I think, is a good player, but he's never going to be a great player. And I think Bello is going to be the next Clay Buchholz, where for 8 or 10 seasons, every year we're going to say, this is the year he comes into his own. So I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. That could happen with Bello.
The Bello discussion is interesting. I've been having this conversation with a few people where it's just like, is Bello, like, I'm talking to people and they're like, Bello is never, like, this is just who he is. It's like, all right, the guy just turned 25. That does not, like, yes, he's pretty much the same pitcher, if not a step below what he was last year. That doesn't mean that he can't take that stuff forward. Next year doesn't mean he can't. What were we saying about Tanner Houck at this time last year? That's what I keep pointing.
I think the fortunate thing the Red Sox have going for them when it comes to the Brian Bello conversation, you know what it is?
What's that?
It's Tanner Houck. Because if Tanner Houck's not doing what they're doing, everyone's screaming and yelling, hey, that you paid this guy to be this Bello guy. You identified him as a starter. Because you know who was the opening day starter?
Brian Bello.
Brian Bello. Let's not forget that.
Tanner Houck was the fifth starter.
Right. So they went into this year identifying Brian Bello as their ace.
Their guy. Their guy of the future.
Yeah. And so that's fine. He might be. But the saving grace for them is that Tanner Houck has been really, really good. All right. Well, we got one more segment to go before the Travis Thomas experience. And then, obviously, Red Sox baseball. People are fired up about Verdugo. This is a last chance on the Baseball Isn't Boring show to get your thoughts out about if that riles you up. We've had some people really, really upset, really passionate, and that's what I like. You have all these people. I see we've been, Gordo, we're right here on Lansdowne Street, and all I've seen is Yankees jerseys. I see one right now, a Gerrit Cole jersey. We've seen a million Juan Soto jerseys. So, hey, you know, take a break from licking your wounds about the Celtics before they win a championship on Monday. Take a break. Why don't you, let's go. Like, can we just stake, put the flag in the ground? I like to say piss on your territory, but put the flag in the ground and say, this is Boston, you're New York, let's go. After what happened last night, this is your opportunity to do it, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's do it. Also,
make it happen.
I want to hear your all-star. You, much like Tristan Casas did yesterday on his Nesson hit, you can also state the case for Jaren Duran making the all-star team.
I'll happily do it.
Okay. Jaren Duran, I talked to him about it this week. Do you see that?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to see it.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Did you put it on the feed?
I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it?
Old school. I wrote it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Jaren Duran said how much it would mean to him to make the All-Star team. Go to WEI.com. Go to check that
out. I'll give it a read.
Anyway, I want to hear Jaren Duran, All-Star, and I'll give you because doing the exercise of writing that column that you didn't read about Jaren Duran making the All-Star team, I went through all the stats. Right now, not even a question. Not even a question.
You're saying that he is an All-Star. He is. Okay, yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that, but first we're going to take a break. Be back after this.
Don't be left out. Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Boston's Sports Original.
Let's go.
Game of baseball. This is a Baseball is a Boring Show. We're on to the top of the hour. Then the Travis Thomas Experience. Live here from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. What a great day. What a great day. As far as I know, it's like if people out in the Lansdowne Street.
We're still how many hours from game time?
Sunny, I don't know.
Four and a half. Knows?
It's a day long, night long to celebrate. What a great time. I can't wait. I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait for tomorrow. By the way, thank you for reminding me. You didn't remind me, but I don't care. Happy Father's Day to Bill Bradford.
Dadfo.
Thank you for being my dad. And 91 years young and just the greatest. And Judge Gordo.
Yes, happy Father's Day to my dad, Judge Gordo. We'll be seeing him tomorrow because tomorrow's Sunday. I lose track, but yes. Okay. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
All right, there you go. Happy Father's Day to everybody. I appreciate everybody. I appreciate my kids and for making me a father. And my wife as well. That also happened. So there you go.
That happened.
All right. This is a baseball isn't boring show. This is a baseball that was the most awkward celebration of Father's Day of all time.
That happened.
all right. So before the break, we had done this. So I wanted to do this exercise in my excellent column that I wrote. Did you read it?
I read through half of it, but then I started digging for stats to make my argument.
All right, well, there's all the stats are in there in that column. And what was the title of that column? It was more proof. I had talked to Duran before the game about it. Do you have pull that up and give me the money quote there.
Why did I lose it? It was
on. Oh, jeez. Anyway, so I had talked to Jaren Duran about making the All-Star team. Because once again, out ahead of the curve.
All right, you want the title?
What's the title of the column?
More proof Jaren Duran has become a legitimate All-Star.
Yeah, which is a fact. And it wasn't just because I talked to him before the game. But it was, here's his quote. This is the money quote for me. Said it would mean a lot. It would mean a lot to be an All-Star. It's a great accomplishment. Whenever I do sit down and think about it by myself, I always think about calling my dad and telling him. That makes me pretty emotional. So there you go. There's no better gift we can give to fathers, Jaren Duran's father, than to say to Jaren Duran's father, congratulations. Your son should be an All-Star. A year ago, you were ahead of the curve. It was almost exactly a year ago, I feel like, that you had said, I think Jaren Duran is on his way to make the All-Star team. I told you, I said, if that happens, I would fly you to Seattle. And then he got hurt, right? Correct?
I don't think he got hurt. I think he just cooled off. And then as soon as they announced the All-Stars, or maybe it was like a few days before, he got hot again. But by that point, it was too late.
But right now, this isn't – now we're sitting here. They started voting on Wednesday. So we can officially say this is All-Star season.
The campaign has begun.
And you can actually start defining who should make the All-Star team. Devers is going to probably make it behind Jose Ramirez, is my guess.
Yeah.
Hauk is going to make it. I don't think – unless it takes a turn for the worse here.
Yeah.
But Jaren Duran, I don't think – if we sit here, I don't – is indisputable that right now he should be an All-Star, right?
I think it's clear as day.
If you look at WAR, first of all, what is he, eighth in WAR now?
Amongst American League players, he is fifth.
Fifth overall in WAR, American League player.
That is crazy.
And
the fifth highest WAR in the American League, that cannot not be an All-Star.
And last I checked, for American League outfielders, he was fourth in OPS. And that was behind Judge, Soto, and I believe Kyle Tucker. Okay?
Who is now hurt.
So, just off of those two things. Then if you want to go to extra base hits, hey, let's go to my favorite stat, games played. Games played.
Every day.
There you go.
Every day player, first in triples, second in doubles, extra base hit machine.
And the only way that anybody says Jaren Duran shouldn't be an All-Star is if they say, oh, look at his batting average. It's in the 270s.
Look at his home runs.
And that would be, but what is going to help him, WAR, OPS. Most importantly, WAR.
And let's look at the defense too. He's in the 95th percentile in outs above average. That is crazy. That is top of the top. That is top of the league as a defensive outfielder playing multiple positions out there.
And if you look at, and Alex Cora said this, it was actually after that game when I wrote that excellent column. He said really quick, he was talking about the offense. He said, and we have Jaren Duran's become an elite leadoff hitter. And that's also true. If you compare him to the other leadoff hitters, that's also true. So I don't think it's a question. I mean, I'm not sending you to Texas because he's going to make it.
Yeah, no, you'd be out some money.
I'd be out some money.
That bet, that deal, that was a 2023 deal. Now he's too. It's like if a Yankee fan was like, send me to the All-Star game if Aaron Judge makes it.
Right.
You just can't do it anymore.
So unless there's a huge in an injury or a huge turn for the worse production-wise, like he's going to make it. So you would agree.
Honestly, of those three guys,
Tanner Houck, Rafi Devers, and Jaren Duran, who is the guy would be on the outside looking in? It'd be Devers.
If it were up to me, I would say Duran. It goes Houck is the most deserving, then Duran, then Devers.
Yeah.
But name recognition alone.
And also, we pick apart Devers here, but if you look at his overall numbers.
They're great.
I mean, OPA is still amongst the league leaders in OPA.
Yeah, like 930 or something like that.
He's
amazing.
And that's, so think about like last year. The Red Sox had one. That should be a wasabi challenge. Who was the Red Sox representative in the All-Star game last year?
Their All-Star closer.
It was one. It was Kenley Jansen. Like, Kenley Jansen was the only Red Sox All-Star last year.
That was tough.
We
all wanted Alex Verdugo to make the All-Star team at this time last year.
I remember going to 2018, that All-Star collection, and you had Mitch Moreland over here, Mookie Betts over there, Xander Bogaerts, you know, Chris Sale, like all of them. And yeah, so I think that, listen, Tanner Houck's a great story, and we can talk about him in a different time. Rafael Devers, a really, really good player. But Jaren Duran is the guy that he has. Let's take a minute to understand the player that he has become. Because I think that people probably don't understand this, that he is an All-Star.
Absolutely. He's an All-Star.
Congratulations to you for being ahead of the curve.
And congratulations to Jaren Duran for making the All-Star team because it's happening.
Let it be said, let it be done. Yep. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody. Everybody's been awesome. This has been a great show once again. I wasn't feeling great when I woke up this morning. Powered through with some NyQuil. then got the Venti Emperor's Cloud, put a Baseball Isn't Boring sticker on the cup.
Yep. That launches the day.
You showed up, Gordo. Christian Fourier called in. He was the party starter when it came to the Verdugo call. That conversation will be continuing. We'll see how the Red Sox react to that. It's going to be a great, great day. Gordo, I really appreciate you. Appreciate all the Playtesi guys. Appreciate intern Tom. Appreciate Nico. Appreciate Zach, who's behind the glass right now. Appreciate Travis Thomas, who's going to take you all the way up to the Red Sox pregame show. This has been the Baseball Isn't Boring show. Remember, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring, also at Playtesi. Subscribe, rate, review. It's always a good time. Yay, baseball.
Don't be left out. Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
Boston Sports Original.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Game of baseball. This is a Baseball Isn't Boring show. We're on to the top of the hour. Then the Travis Thomas Experience live here from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. What a great day. What a great day. As far as I know, it's like it's people out in the Lansdowne Street.
We're still how many hours from game time?
Sunny, I don't
Four
know.
And a Who half. Knows?
It's a day long, night long to celebrate. What a great time. I can't wait. I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait for tomorrow. By the way, thank you for reminding me. You didn't remind me, but I don't care. Happy Father's Day to Bill Bradford.
Dadfo.
Dadfo. Thank you for being my dad. And 91 years young and just the greatest. And Judge Gordo.
Yes, happy Father's Day to my dad, Judge Gordo. We'll be seeing him tomorrow because tomorrow's Sunday. I lose track, but yes. See you tomorrow. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
All right, there you go. Happy Father's Day to everybody. I appreciate everybody. I appreciate my kids and for making me a father. And my wife as well. That also happened. So there you go.
That happened.
All right. This is a Baseball Isn't Boring show. This is a baseball. That was the most awkward celebration of Father's Day of all time.
That happened.
All right. So before the break, we had done this. So I wanted to do this exercise in my excellent column that I wrote. Did you read it?
I read through half of it, but then I started digging for stats to make my argument.
All the stats are in there in that column. And what was the title of that column? It was More Proof. I had talked to Duran before the game about it. Do you have a pull that up and give me the money quote there.
Why did I lose it? It was up.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, so I had talked to Jaron Duran about making the All-Star team. Because once again, out ahead of the curve.
All right, you want the title?
What's the title of the column?
More Proof Jaron Duran Has Become a Legitimate All-Star.
Yeah, which is a fact. And it wasn't just because I talked to him before the game, but it was here's his quote. This is the money quote for me. He said, "It would mean a lot. It would mean a lot to be an All-Star. It's a great accomplishment. Whenever I do sit down and think about it by myself, I always think about calling my dad and telling him. That makes me pretty emotional." So there you go. There's no better gift we can give to fathers, Jaron Duran's father, than to say to Jaron Duran's father, "Congratulations, your son should be an All-Star." A year ago, you were ahead of the curve. It was almost exactly a year ago, I feel like, that you had said, "I think Jaron Duran is on his way to make the All-Star team." I told you, I said, if that happens, I would fly you to Seattle. And then he got hurt. Right, correct?
I don't think he got hurt. I think he just cooled off. And then as soon as they announced the All-Stars, or maybe it was like a few days before, he got hot again. But by that point, it was too late.
But right now, this isn't – now we're sitting here. They started voting on Wednesday. So we can officially say this is All-Star season.
The campaign has
begun. And you can actually start defining who should make the All-Star team. Devers is going to probably make it behind Jose Ramirez, is my guess.
Yeah.
Hauk is going to make it. I don't think, unless it takes a turn for the worse here.
Yeah.
But Jarren Duran, I don't think, if we sit here, it's indisputable that right now he should be an All-Star, right?
I think it's clear as day.
If you look at WAR, first of all, what is he, eighth in WAR now?
Amongst American League players, he is fifth.
Fifth overall in WAR, American League player.
That is crazy.
And
the fifth highest WAR in the American League, that cannot not be an All-Star.
And last I checked, for American League outfielders, he was fourth in OPS, and that was behind Judge, Soto, and I believe Kyle Tucker. Okay?
Who is now hurt.
So, just off of those two things, then if you want to go to extra base hits, hey, let's go to my favorite stat, games played.
Every day.
There you go.
Every day player, first in triples, second in doubles, extra base hit machine.
And the only way that anybody says Jarren Duran shouldn't be an All-Star is if they say, oh, look at his batting average. It's in the 270s.
Look at his home runs.
But what is going to help him, WAR, OPS. WAR, OPS. Most importantly, WAR.
And let's look at the defense, too. He's in the 95th percentile in outs above average. That is crazy. That is top of the top. That is top of the league as a defensive outfielder playing multiple positions out there.
And if you look at Alex Cora said this. It was actually after that game when I wrote that excellent column. He said really quick, he was talking about the offense. He said, and we have Jarren Duran's become an elite leadoff hitter. And that's also true. If you compare him to the other leadoff hitters, that's also true. So I don't think it's a question. I mean, I'm not sending you to Texas because he's going to make it.
Yeah, no, you'd be out some money.
I'd be out some money.
That bet, that deal, that was a 2023 deal. Now he's too. It's like if a Yankee fan was like, send me to the All-Star game if Aaron Judge makes it.
Right.
You just can't do it anymore.
So unless there's a huge in an injury or a huge turn for the worse production-wise, like he's going to make it. So you would agree.
Honestly, of those three guys,
Tanner Houck, Rafi Devers, and Jarren Duran, who is the guy would be on the outside looking in? It'd be Devers.
If it were up to me, I would say Duran. It goes Houck is the most deserving, then Duran, then Devers.
Yeah.
But name recognition alone.
And also, we pick apart Devers here, but if you look at his overall numbers.
They're great.
I mean, OPA is still amongst the league leaders in OPS.
Yeah, like 930 or something like that. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
No, he's going to make
it. He's amazing.
And so think about like last year. The Red Sox had one. That should be a wasabi challenge. Who was the Red Sox representative in the All-Star game last year?
Their All-Star closer.
It was one. It was Kenley Jansen. Like, Kenley Jansen was the only Red Sox All-Star last year.
That was tough.
We
all wanted Alex Verdugo to make the All-Star team at this time last year.
I remember going to 2018, that All-Star collection, and you had Mitch Moreland over here, Mookie Betts over there, Xander Bogaerts, you know, Chris Sale, like all of them. And yeah, so I think that, listen, Tanner Houck's a great story, and we can talk about him in a different time. Rafael Devers, a really, really good player. But Jarren Duran is the guy that he has. Let's take a minute to understand the player that he has become. Because I think that people probably don't understand this, that he is an All-Star.
Absolutely. He's an All-Star.
Congratulations to you for being ahead of the curve.
And congratulations to Jarren Duran for making the All-Star team because it's happening.
Let it be said, let it be done. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody. Everybody's been awesome. This has been a great show once again. I wasn't feeling great when I woke up this morning. Powered through with some NyQuil. Then got the Venti Emperor's Cloud. Put a Baseball Isn't Boring sticker on the cup.
Yep. That launches the day.
You showed up, Gordo. Christian Fourier called in. He was the party starter when it came to the Verdugo call. That conversation will be continuing. We'll see how the Red Sox react to that. It's going to be a great, great day. Gordo, I really appreciate you. Appreciate all the Play Tessie guys. Appreciate intern Tom. Appreciate Nico. Appreciate Zach, who's behind the glass right now. Appreciate Travis Thomas, who's going to take you all the way up to the Red Sox pregame show. This has been the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Remember, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring, also at Play Tessie. Subscribe, rate, review. It's always a good time. Yay, baseball.